Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, let's continue our study again today by reading from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 16. There is a particular verse here I want to bring out. Now the story, let me give us something around it. It has to do with the king of Judah called Asa. Asa, in the beginning of his reign, did a lot of things that were pleasing to God. In fact, the Spirit of God told him through a prophet in chapter 15. He told him that the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will let you find him. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, what Asa did as a result of that was that he became strong and he made sure that the whole of Israel followed the way of God. And there was no more war all around him for the first 35 years after that of his reign. Now, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, that is Asa's territory, and began to make war. Then Asa now went out to go and hire people to come and help him against, well, he did some negotiation so as to get human help to help him in his troubles. And that's where the scripture we are looking for, that was when he came up. The machination he used worked. The human help seemed to produce result. But the prophet now came to him to explain that what he had done was to frustrate God's plan for his life, that God was going to prosper him even further, and he had given him a little bit of temptation that was supposed to turn his heart again to God for help, but he failed in it. Now, let's just read that to bring out the point from verse 7. He said, "Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand." Now, that was a very powerful nation at that time, Aram or Syria, another name for them. He said, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubin an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand." Now, why did God do that? Verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." Please, that's just a verse I want to emphasize on. It said, if you read the King James, it said that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart are completely his. That is, God is always looking around for the heart of people. Please get my point. That is, every situation in life shows us the kind of heart that we have. A lot of people sit down and they complain against what they call big men, against rulers. And God wants to show them that the reason why they have been down is not because of the rulers that they have had, but because of the state of their own hearts. So God gives them an opportunity to be a big man and they become an oppressor. God puts them in charge of 1 million naira, they chop 700,000 out of it. Now God now says, now you understand that the big man you have been complaining about was not the problem, it was your heart. Please, no, we have been talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity, and we are still on that subject. And what I have been sitting on is to help us understand the fact that what God is looking for is the heart of man, the kind of position or the state that that heart is in, and that will determine how God shows himself strong on the person's behalf. We have seen the case of Asa, that when God, the Bible says very clearly, now when he had become very, very strong, what was happening was that the guy was beginning to rely on his connections. He was beginning to rely on the people that he had around him. Now, that's one side of the coin. But there are those who they are complaining. They are not relying on people because they claim they don't have people. But their complaint now about life is that I don't have people. Now, whether you are relying on people or complain that you don't have people, the fact is that people are still your trust. Do you get my point? Therefore, your heart is not completely God's. Now, I've been explaining that if we can get a heart that's in total unity with God's thoughts. Remember what we said reading from Isaiah chapter 55. That a wicked man is shown by the kind of heart that he has. That is why God calls a man a godless man or an ungodly man or an unrighteous man, is that he has thoughts that are not in agreement with the way God thinks. Please, I hope you are getting that point again. So that's what we have been saying, that what God is able to produce in your heart is what will eventually become manifested outside. Last time I ended by explaining the fact that God's word is powerful. That if God can create something in our heart, and the choking influences of this earth. Remember what I ended with? That people tell us stories of problems. We do not realize that they are the machinations of Satan to kill our faith. When Jesus was going to complain, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? That is, it's what faith can produce in your heart that your life will eventually experience. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me just say something briefly about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is actually the one who we serve, is the one that is leading us in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. Why Jesus came was to reintroduce the spirit of faith into the hearts of people so that they can be reconciled to God. Now listen, because once the spirit of God is inside your heart, it helps you to see, or let me put it like this, it helps you to receive the thoughts that God has for you. Remember what we've been saying, that the unrighteous man is known by his thoughts in the presence of God. That is, his thought pattern is different from what God wants people to have as thought patterns. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? That is, if the man were to think the way God is thinking, then God will call him a righteous man. And we said that God has thoughts, God has ideas that he wants, very importantly this time for me to explain. These thoughts and ideas, God has designed that they will become manifested through people. He said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. God said, behold, I will send them a savior and a champion, and I will deliver them. That is, this is the way I deliver people. I send somebody. Please, are you getting the point I'm making? What I want to emphasize today is that that person, again, must receive God's thoughts in his heart. It must be the constant meditation of his heart. Once that is, eventually in life, life will produce for him that which he has believed. Let me emphasize to us again that we are very important in God's thoughts. Are you getting me? Now, there was something I said earlier, that when we're reading from, we refer to Psalm 139, that David said, thou didst form my inward parts, I will give thanks to thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I forgot to explain the meaning of the word fearfully and wonderfully. Now, when God used the word fearfully and wonderfully, now he's not referring to how much people think you are beautiful when they look at you. Please, I need to explain that principle. Because he said, you form my inward part. When he was even talking, his emphasis was on what? The inward part, not even the outward. Now, I know the outward is also formed by God. And it's very important for your function in life. But my emphasis today is on that inward part. He said, thou didst form my inward part. I will give thanks to thee because I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, wonderful are thy works. And my soul knows it very well. What did he mean by fearfully and wonderfully made? Now, I don't have time to go into the detailed theology of it, but this is a summary of what it means. It means I have been created at the appropriate time. I have been brought to this earth at the appropriate time with the appropriate structure inside me to fulfill a particular function. That's what it means to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you getting my point? The Bible says that God has made everything beautiful in his own time. That is, what makes something beautiful is how appropriate that thing is for its situation. Do you get the point I'm making? You have seen that there is no similarity in appearance between a sheep and an airplane. There is no similarity in appearance. But a sheep can be beautiful and an airplane can be beautiful. The first time you see a Boeing 777, the first time I saw it from close up, I said, my God. In fact, immediately I whipped out my phone and called a friend of mine. I said, I'm about to board the biggest plane I've ever seen in my life. Now, looking at the plane, it was so big and so beautiful. Why? It has been designed very well to fly. It's been designed to fly. It has a very wide wingspan. It's been designed to fly. The way the whole body is shaped, it's been designed to fly. To reduce the drag and all of those things, they've designed the aircraft. So it's beautiful. But then you put a sheep right beside it. You turn your face away from the plane and the sheep is also beautiful. But they don't look alike. Why? Because the beauty is judged by the function that each is supposed to perform, not any absolute assessment of his look. Is according to the function that each is supposed to perform. So when David said, I have been fearfully and wonderfully made, what he was saying is that God has created me, are you getting me, for a particular function. Listen, let me tell you something. There is nobody that God sent to this earth uselessly. And there was nobody God sent to come and enjoy life. Not one. Each person has been sent by God to come and perform a particular function in expressing the thoughts of God on this earth. I said something before that he said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. That means God thinks about things. Are you getting my point? He has ideas about them. But what I'm emphasizing again is this, that God's ideas and God's thoughts are always expressed through people. When God had ideas about delivering the children of Israel from captivity, he had to send the thoughts into the heart of Moses. As a young chap in the palace, Moses was already dreaming of delivering the children of Israel out of captivity. Do you get my point? That is the word of God going into his heart. I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. That word, working with his inward parts, thou didst form my inward parts, it produced concepts in his mind that these people should be delivered. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. And then the Bible said concerning David that he served the purpose of God in his generation. What, you know, remember something I said earlier? That as a righteous man, what marks you out as a righteous man is that you are thinking about life the way God thinks about it. For example, first of all, we talked about the meaning of the word job as far as God is concerned. And an average person thinks a job is something I show off and I get enough money, you know, to shine. But God said, no, that's not what a job is. A job is the opportunity you will have to be a blessing to people. They will return material things back to you as you bless them. But the primary thing about the job, all right, is that you have the opportunity to affect somebody's life positively. Then we saw another thing about the way God thinks. That when people want to get results in life, they say, be diligent. Wake up in the morning. You must not give sleep to your eyes. I say it's not true. The Bible says that, of course, good to be diligent. I said the lazy man is a stupid man. Don't forget, Solomon said, I considered foolishness and I found out that foolishness is foolish. Do you follow what I'm saying? No, that's the way it is. But that we rely on our strength to get results is not God's thought. That is the Esau spirit. A Jacob will believe in the grace of God, knowing that if God does not bless him, he won't do well in life. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So those are the things we said. So we have come to understand that God's thoughts is like, I must be dependent on God's grace. So if I want to get results in life, I see what I am doing today as the opportunity to prove faithful, knowing that the thoughts and ideas I have in my mind, I must never throw them away, because one day will come that God will open the door and I will know that this is my door and I will step into it. You get that point? All right. So when I explaining that, we must also get another idea about God's thoughts. We must also understand that how does God look at life? How does God look at this life that I'm in? There are problems everywhere. We are talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity. Let me emphasize something about that. I never said creating the opportunity so that you might prosper. I said creating the opportunity for what? For prosperity. That is, the prosperity is not only yours, but that of other people. It's just for you to create the avenue by which you can prosper and other people can prosper. When God called Abraham, he said, I will bless you so much, you will be a blessing. There's something I'm getting to about God's thought. God, when he called Abraham, he made it clear to him that where I am going is that in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's where I'm going. I will bless you. I will increase you. I will make your name great. I will give you land. I will give you children. But where I am going is that in you, all the nations of this earth will be blessed. That is, Abraham was never called, really, so that he might enjoy and be blessed alone. He was called so that everybody else who will have the faith of Abraham will be blessed. But in the process of producing that, Abraham also was blessed. Do you get my point? Listen, there is a way we reason that ignites the power of God in our lives. Now, this is what I'm saying. They are not, you know, profound spiritual things. They are deep. Yet, but they are so simple that they affect our everyday life. Don't forget, we have come to understand that we are not going to succeed because we struggled, but we are going to succeed because we imbibe the right thoughts, we have the right ideas, and the grace of God is released because of those things. So one of the things we must get clear is why God placed you and I here, because that is what decides where you go in life. Because we have come to understand that life is primarily about an assignment. A friend of mine told me something a few years ago. I didn't even know when I said it until he reminded me that I mentioned it. So he said that one day I was preaching in church. And that before that time, he had told me that he went to relocate from where he was, all right, and move more to Lagos, because he discovered that his business was going to flow better or more from Lagos. So he had mentioned, he had made up his mind he was going to do that. He said, so that day, he came to church and I was the one preaching that day. And then I was now explaining, which what I want all of us to understand. He said, I said that, look, as a child of God, you don't go looking for where blessings are flowing from. You go looking for where your assignment is. That your mantra must be, where is ministry? That not where is money, but where is ministry? And when we say ministry now, please let me emphasize, everybody is a minister. It's not only the man that preaches on radio or that preaches in church or that preaches on books. No, everybody is what? A minister. If you go and read Ephesians chapter 4, he said he gave gifts unto men. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the saints for the work of the ministry. That is, every child of God has something to do, which as far as God is concerned, that is your ministry. Ministry does not mean you are preaching alone. Ministry just means you are performing the assignment that God has called you to perform on this earth. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making here. So he said that day, I said, where is ministry? And then he realized that ministry for him was where he was at that particular point in time. That yes, it appeared like more money was going to flow from Lagos. He said, but even though I went to Lagos, all I will get from Lagos is money. He said, but the ability to influence my environment, the ability to impact people positively, like I have come to understand I am supposed to do, is where I am right now. He said, instantly, he canceled all the plans for relocating. He said, I will do the best I can from where I am. You know the interesting thing about God? Jesus said, anyone who will be willing to lose his life for my sake is the one that will find it. Anyone who makes such decisions, God will say, listen, I will bring the business of Lagos, I'll bring it towards you wherever you are. That is, you come to understand that, no, life is not primarily about what I'm going to gain, but what I'm going to give. Talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity, there are people listening to me tonight that could have gotten a decent job and earned a fast salary, but they decided to create a business. At the end of the day, at least appears like for now, they are personally earning less money than that job they would have gotten. Would have given them. He said, but they realized that at least 5 to 10 people earn their daily bread because this business is running. So no matter what you try to use to entice him to leave that business and go somewhere else, he said, no, you don't get the point. To leave this business, I have to lay off people. I am the one that can do this thing effectively. I will remain doing it because there are people who are dependent on me to survive. Please get what I'm going to say. The right thoughts lead you in the right direction. You know, a lot of people think that when God is going to speak to you, he will wake up at night and say, my son, okay, Chuku, this is what I want you to do. Yeah, God doesn't always say like that. God teaches you the right way. He said he leads us in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. Are you getting my point? That is, his leading is towards what? Righteousness. He just teaches you what is right. And that is God's voice telling you where to go. Listen, every crossroad you come to in life, this is how God does it. He will make you understand that going this way, you'll be following this kind of principles. And going this other way, these are the principles that will lead you in that direction. Then he will retreat you back into your heart to analyze the principles you are using. He doesn't need to whisper to you. Just look at the principles. Which one of them is the principle of righteousness? Do you get my point? Listen, you know what Satan tries to do? He tries to offer us temporary gain. He tries to offer us what will bless us now. Forgetting that, listen, a mature woman must learn to live in such a manner as to count his blessing not by the one he enjoyed, but by the one that other people who related with them enjoyed. A man was speaking in my church on Sunday, and he said, how do you know a big man? He said, a big man is not counted by how much money comes towards him, but how much money goes out of him. That's what makes you big. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make here. We must get God's ideas, though. Because once we get God's ideas, what happens is that his spirit is released, that is the power of grace, is released into our hearts so that the very dreams of our hearts, listen, you don't have to labor to make those dreams come to pass. What will happen is that one day God will open the door and you will know, this is my door. Remember the example I gave last week of Ron Canoli? There was a time he tried to labor and it never worked. Then he swore to God, he said, I won't try it again. All I will just do is be faithful in the one that you have given me. And then one day, Don Mwen walked up to him and said, look, we run this company and we think you are good. Do you mind coming to sing with us? Instantly, the man said, this is my door. And he walked straight into that door. He said, that was one thing I did not have to pray about. Do you follow my point? Now listen, because this is how God works. How will the music be distributed all over the world? It was no longer his business. You and I know Ron Canoli today, not because he tried to distribute his music. The channels of distribution were put in place before he came on the scene. All he needed to do was enter the studio and sing and walk away and go back home. At the end of the day, they will pay him royalties. At the end of the day, he gets an invitation to go all over the world. The interesting part is that everywhere he goes, somebody will be paying the bills. The Bible says that he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Please, I hope what I'm saying is becoming clear to you. That is, once we get the word of God, he said, for the word of God is alive and active. What does it mean, alive and active? That by itself, the word creates effect. When Mary did not understand that, the angel came to her and said, you will bear a son. She said, how shall this be, seeing that I know no man? That this, what most of us would have loved to do, is that they say, the angel said, I'm going to bear a son. So quickly, let me go and get married now so I can have a son. No. She turned to the angel and said, how shall this thing be, seeing that these are the hindrances? And the angel said, you don't understand. He said, no word of God shall be void of power. Most Bibles say it like this, with God, nothing shall be impossible. What Angel Gabriel said literally is that no word of God shall be void of power. That is, when once that word comes, it brings the necessary man with it, in quotes, it brings the necessary midwife. All you need to do is say like Mary said, let it be unto me according to thy word, because I am a humble servant of God. Do you get the point? Listen, the great dreams inside your heart, God has already planned those who will help you bring them to pass. But he will not bring you, listen, into their circles until your heart is ready. Do you know there are people who don't understand the purpose of the relationships that God is bringing them into? Maybe, for example, God links you with somebody who in your mind you think is a big man. And you think that, God, thank you. Finally, maybe this man will give me a car for my birthday present. Maybe this man, if he gives me a job. And you don't understand that God said, walk with him. Be faithful. Learn what you can from him. And the appropriate time, see that man you see, he has billions of naira, which I have told him to keep. One day, he will open up an idea and say, how do I do this? Then you suddenly put up your hand and say, sir, I can serve you well in that area. He said, if you think you can do it, no problem. The share of the company that's yours will be 60%. Because all I'm bringing is the money, let it just be 40. You go ahead, run with the race. Then you will look back, and then somebody will look at you and say, oh boy, in 3 years, look at what you have achieved. He won't understand that all you achieved was achieved because 15 years ago you had a dream in your mind. Then one day a man came up and said, can't we do something like this? And he said, sir, I have already incubated that. I just did not have the resources. And he said, here's the resources. Go ahead. Run that race that you've already incubated. And that way you will say, oh boy, it's not me. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his power working towards me did not prove in that I appear to be doing more than everybody else. But there's nothing I'm doing that I didn't think about before. It's not me. It's the power of God working with me. Please, I hope the point I'm making is very clear to us. Don't ever forget that the word of God has power. The problem with Christians, the thing that God gives advice, God doesn't give advice. He gives commands. You know what they call command? The word he gives has power inside it to set you in the right direction. Let me tell you how you relate with God's word. Relate with it with an amen. Every time God says something, say amen. Don't say but. Once God came to Jeremiah, if you go and study Jeremiah chapter 1, you'll see what I'm saying. He said, Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. By the time your mother was conceiving, I had appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah said, but. That is, alas, Lord, you know I can't speak. I am too young. And God said, do not say I am too young. And the day I read that thing, he said, do not say. Suddenly revelation hit me. That God said, I don't want to hear your hindrances. Is irrelevant to me. I was listening to a preacher a few days ago, and he said that why did God not tell the children of Israel about the giants in the land when he sent them in there? He said, because as far as he was concerned, the giants were irrelevant. If the children of Israel will agree to take the land, the giants were irrelevant. Do you get the point? So as far as God was concerned, the fact that Jeremiah was young was an irrelevant matter. But he told him that, behold, he said, don't say I'm a youth. Everywhere I send you, you will go. Anything I tell you to speak, you will speak. He said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. With these words, you will go forth, you will speak, you will break down, you will overthrow, you will destroy everything, and then you will build and you will plant. How? With the words. Do you get my point? Why? Because the word of God is powerful. I have said this again. And that word is active. It by itself creates opportunities. You can't create opportunities for God's word. You can't. People say, rise up early. It's good to rise up early. Wake up on time, be diligent. But when God's breakthrough will come, it will be another ordinary day. I've said to people before, you think that Joseph, the day before they came and called him out of the prison to come to go and meet the Pharaoh, you think it was a special day? No, he woke up on a normal day. Maybe it's on another of those days that he woke up late. But the day of appointment was that day. The word of God sent
Listen, that word went into the house of Pharaoh and created the opportunity. Do you get my point? And then they said, who can solve this? Then they said, there was a man I met while I was in jail, sir. His name is Joseph. And they called Joseph. Did Joseph build Egypt? No. Did he build the palace of Pharaoh? No. Did he build the armies of Pharaoh? No. What did he build? Nothing. No wonder God said, you will live in houses you did not build. Do you get my point? That is, the machinery for effectual prosperity in life has already been set. God said, just prepare your heart for that time. Please, you are getting the point I'm making. The word of God, look, I've said this, let me summarize today by saying it again. I am a man of God. That is, I don't mean that I'm a preacher. I mean that the words that I'm speaking, they are God's words. They are not my ideas. They are not things I would love to say that I think people should know. No, there are things that God says they must know because the time to favor them has come. Listen to me. It says, say to Zion, behold your God. And that's what I'm doing to you again this night. I'm saying to you, behold your God. This is what God will do in your life. Listen, and once you believe the word that I'm speaking, I don't care whether physically you are crippled now, financially you are crippled now, emotionally you are crippled now. If you believe those words, the words will lift you up from your crippled bed and set you in the direction of God's destiny for your life. I know what I'm saying. Because the word of God is alive and it is active. Listen, God doesn't joke. He does not give advice. If he gives an instruction, you just have to obey it. That is, the willingness of heart must be there. Then that word sets you on your way. When Ezekiel fell down, what happened? He fell down because of the weight of the glory that he was beholding. And then God says, son of man, rise to your feet that I might speak to you. Ezekiel said, I would have loved to rise. The moment in his heart he felt, I would have loved to rise. The spirit entered into him and set him on his feet. He says, seek from the book of the law and read. None of these shall fail, neither will anyone lack its mate. He said, why? Because the mouth of the Lord has commanded. Therefore, his spirit has gone out and it has gathered. I am saying again to Zion, behold your God. The words that I'm speaking, they will create. There are people, listen, that were ordained to die. But because they believe this word that I'm preaching, God said, you can't die anymore because there must be a manifestation. There must be a fulfillment. He said, blessed is he that has believed. Blessed is she that has believed. For there shall be a fulfillment of that which was spoken by the mouth of the Lord. As a matter of fact, that's how God works. Listen to me, saints of God. I said, God doesn't give advice. He gives express commands. That is, every word he speaks has power in it to produce results. And anyone that will believe, he said, who has believed our report? He said, to that one the arm of the Lord will be revealed. He said, who has believed our report and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? If you want to experience the arm of God in your life, if you want to experience salvation that is not dependent upon your own effort, God said, just believe my words. Once you believe what I have said, then it grows into your heart and creates a picture. It creates thoughts. It creates ideas. And I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, eventually, what has been created inside your heart will become manifested in your environment. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Anything you believe will eventually become flesh and dwell in your life and dwell in your environment and dwell and show that indeed Jesus died, and you are a witness of the fact that his resurrection power is still available to overturn all the works of wickedness in your environment. I hope you got my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria.